Outstanding, John.
Aren't you doing a rap, Russell?
Well, I wanted to. The video clip didn't work, so we'll do another time. Isn't it true that in life there are so many things, socially, morally, spiritually, politically, that conspire to pull apart marriages, pull apart families, pull apart friendships, and divert your eyes off Jesus and keeping him first? And so this song by Toby Mac, we won't watch it this week, we'll do it next week. It's about fighting the elements. And when little Anna and I listen to this in the car together, when grandmum's not in there, we turn it right up and we let loose, you know. Because we want to fight for our families. We want to fight for our marriages. We want to fight to keep God first. We want to fight to have awesome friendships. And things like that don't just happen. They happen intentionally. When you're seeking God and you're standing up and you're recognizing there are forces at work pulling people apart, breaking family units apart. When your eyes are open to that and you know about prayer and you know about declaration, we stand up and we fight. We don't take it lying down. We're Christians. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. When Jerusalem was under attack many years ago, the leader of the nation at that time, a man called Nehemiah, said this to the people: "Don't be afraid of your enemies. The Lord is great and fearsome. So think of him and fight for your relatives and your children and your wives and your home." And I think that's a word for today. People just, like that ad, the Sky TV ad, just throw out, sub out the husband, bring in Tane, you know. It's just like that. Everything's short-lived. If it makes me happy, if it's meeting my needs, I'll go with it. If it's frustrating or too hard, people chuck it out. And friendships are walked away from, and marriages are walked away from, and families fall apart. But we serve a Savior who's alive in each one of us. We serve a Savior that gives us the Holy Spirit to discern what's truly going on. And when that happens, we're to recognize who's behind all those attacks, and we're to stand up and to fight for our families. I've been a pastor for, I don't know, 28, 29 years now. And I've taught parenting courses for years and years, done different things. And I recognize four traits that I see in awesome families. So we're talking about fighting for awesome families this morning. And I see four traits. Now, whether you're a young couple with a little child, your first child, whether you've got teenage kids or adult children, or you're a great, great, great grandparent, there's a family, a sphere of influence you have an opportunity to minister to, and you've got influence over. And whether it's via the internet, whether it's in person, whether it's just at holidays, there's a whole lot of ways in which you can fight for your family and protect your family from the attacks of the enemies. Things you can choose to do to make your family truly awesome. And I want to say there are four things that I've recognized as I've worked with families, looked at families, that are different symbols of awesomeness. And the first thing I want to do is talk about fun. And it's good to laugh. It's good to laugh. Oh, no. I was trying to get the teenagers over there. But every awesome family I've noticed has fun. Seriously good fun. And they choose to have fun. Awesome families have fun. And when you look at these families, they know how to laugh together. They know how to do projects together. They know how to tease each other. And they have fun. Awesome families like that don't happen by accident. They happen by choice. They happen deliberately. When I've asked people getting married, hey, when you look back at your upbringing, when you look back at your childhood, what do you remember most? Nobody says, oh, when I was 13, I was given this. Or when I was 17, somebody bought me that. You know what they all say? In our family, we used to do this at Christmas time. In our family, we used to go fishing together. In our family, we go to the beach a lot. In our family, we did these things. It was the stuff together that they remember. No one talks about how much they owned or what they were given. They talk about the relationship in the family. We had fun in our family. That's what they recall. Can't believe I broke that. Never mind. And the funny thing about fun is it's normally cheaper. It's free. I've done so many things with my kids growing up. Have you done that game in the car where you have a coin? You say, we're going to buy tea tonight, and you head it down the street, and the first child flicks it, and it's heads, you go left, tails, you go right, and no dead-end streets. It's the only rule is you don't get a dead-end street. And Dad's praying, oh, let it be fish and chips, you know. And the first eatery you come across, that's where you go for tea. We've done that all those sorts of games all our lives as the kids grew up, and we're having fun with them now. Families have fun traditions, they have fun games, they have fun trips. They make memories. And it doesn't happen by accident. You've got to carve out time, you've got to be deliberate to add fun, add awesomeness to your family, to make it an awesome family. Now the Bible teaches, and we know well, Scripture says, it's good to work hard. So whether you're at home as a parent, whether you're in a business situation, or you're working for someone else, it says work hard as unto the Lord. And people know those scriptures, but not many people know there are many scriptures that say, make sure you have fun and enjoy the day. In the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, so I think we should get as much out of life as we possibly can. There's nothing better than to enjoy our food and drink and to have a good time. Then we can make it through the troublesome times that we go through here on earth. 1 Timothy 6:17. Warn the rich people of this world not to be proud or trust in the wealth that is easily lost. Tell them to have faith in God, who is rich and blesses us with everything we need to enjoy life. I believe in abundant God. I do not believe prosperity doctrine that says give to this or that ministry and you'll get rich. That's nonsense. But I believe in a God that loves you so much that he'll meet your needs and give you a bit extra just for fun, just to enjoy. I believe in a God that meets the desires of your heart. I believe in a God that knows what you want to ask him before you even pray, and he'll zoom down those blessings to you because that's your Father. That's what he's like. He's a God that brings joy, a God that brings freedom. Now, my daughter's 30 years of age. She's a vegan. And so when it comes to what she eats and chocolates and that, she's normally very, very careful. The other day we were talking and she said, Dad, you know what my favourite chocolate is? I said, I don't know. She said, Kinder Surprise. Now, I don't know whether it's got dairy products in it or not, but I know why she picked that chocolate. Because every day as the kids grew up for about 15 years, what would happen is this. Juliet's a night owl. I'm an early morning person. So at 10:30 at night, she's absolutely outstanding. And I'm not worth talking to, you know. And at 6 a.m. in the morning, I'm at my sharpest, and it's best just to leave her alone, you know. And so what we do in our household as the kids grew up, the kids would wake up early with Dad. Mum would sleep, we'd rush into the lounge. We'd rug up in the lounge and put the cartoons on. And I'd make scrambled eggs or bacon and eggs or pancakes. We'd eat a huge breakfast watching cartoons and laughing together. Then at the end of that, I'd say to the kids, right now it's time to tidy your room. And I'd have three Kinder Surprises lined up. And when that room was tidied to my satisfaction, they got a Kinder Surprise. And then by that time, Mum was awake and we went off on an adventure somewhere. We did that every Saturday for years and years. So my daughter says, you know what, Dad? My favourite chocolate's Kinder Surprise. Now I know where that's coming from. She's thinking back to the memories we've had, the traditions we've had, and for her it's worth gold. We need to create those traditions. If you're not eating together as a family, if you're watching the TV or sitting on couches for mealtimes, please stop doing that. Please stop doing that. One of the easiest things you can do is turn off the TV and turn the cell phones off and have a meal together every night. In our family, we've used things like the faith cards, faith triggers, little questions you can just pull out and talk. And even Anna at her age is doing these with us now. These are great for teenagers, chatterbox. But there's a host of things you can do. But make sure you at least eat together and establish some traditions of just having fun. I've got a brother who'd be a couple of years older than me. And when it comes to water pistols, that guy's probably owned 30 or 40 in his life. And when we have Christmas with Uncle Colin, you're going to get tricked, you're going to get blasted, all sorts of things are going to happen, because that's what we do as a family. We know how to have fun. Awesome families have fun. A statement I read the other day said this: people don't remember what you say, but they do remember how you make them feel. Now you think of that in relation to your children or your grandkids or your great-grandkids. People don't remember what you say, but they do remember how you make them feel. It's incredibly important that mum and dad control the atmosphere at home, or the grandparents control the atmosphere. That atmosphere is full of peace and it's full of love and it's full of joy and it's full of fun. Psalm 127 verse 3. Gosh, I don't know about you this week, but I was looking at the things posted about the motions going through Parliament at the moment, about abortions up to 20 weeks of age, and I just grief. How can we do that? How can we? There was a placard held up on TV in the news about a week ago saying, and it read, I'm not allowed to smack my child, but I'm allowed to kill my child. Now, that's absolutely true. And so I want to stand behind people that have a voice for life. I want to stand behind people that say every child is precious. Scripture says, Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a blessing and a gift from God. So what do you do when you get a blessing? What do you do when you get a gift? You enjoy it, don't you? You enjoy it. Take time to enjoy your kids. And you all know that the way children spell love is T-I-M-E. Time means love to them. One of the things that's been thrilling me as a pastor is I've been dreaming and seeing for a couple of years now what the cafe is going to look like in this big community facility once it's built. And I imagine when the cafe is built, we've got lots of board games and Jenga and things that people interact with different ages. And we're going to do the same at the camp. We have all sorts of things that people can interact with. And one of our groups has been a games group on Sunday afternoon and well attended. I think, what a great example. And one of our group's leaders has talked about maybe buying board games now for the church and for our life together. Super Music started the last week. I think Sharon had about 30 kids come, you know, that's preschool kids. And she's a woman of God. You know, Sharon and Matt have been a real blessing to the church already in the time they've been here. There are things happening now that fit the picture long term that just get me so excited. We're to enjoy our kids. So the first symbol of an awesome family, which doesn't happen by accident, is a water pistol I'm sure we can glue with super glue at home sometime. Got to have fun. Awesome families have fun. Secondly, awesome families encourage growth. So I'll put the watering can on chair number two. They encourage growth. Awesome families don't just happen. They're chosen. You do things to become an awesome family. And all awesome families look to discover the gifts and the passions of their children and to help them grow. One of the things I've loved doing as a dad and as a granddad is not to say, kids, be like me. I don't want that. You know, and I've got good qualities and things that, you know, probably aren't so good. But I don't want them to be like me. I don't want them to copy after me. I want to discover the gold in them. I want to discover how uniquely made they are, what their gifts are, what their passions are, what their calling is. And I want to be used of the Holy Spirit to fan out the flame. Kids are important. Awesome families encourage growth. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, talking about Jesus, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So how do we grow? What are the four ways that we can possibly grow? First is to grow in wisdom, intellectual growth. Help our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids learn and do well academically and intellectually. They can grow in stature, that's physical growth. And they can grow in favour with God, that's spiritual growth. And they can grow in favour with man, that's social growth. And so every family member, whether they're living with you or you're Skyping them or you're ringing them up, you're thinking, I want them to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow intellectually. I want to grow physically. I want them to grow socially. I want to grow spiritually. And godly families, awesome families do that. They look to encourage all areas of growth. There's so many things that we can learn from our families. And our kids need to learn from us before they become adults. One of the things awesome families do is teach them what to do with their feelings. When children are growing up, and they get upset because someone took something or didn't share something else, or they had to wait their turn for something, you know. That's the perfect time for parents and grandparents to coach them. Hey, feelings are real. And there's healthy ways to express feelings and unhealthy ways. And you learn that best in an awesome family. Another skill we learn in our families is how to handle conflict. And so there's never going to be a family where everyone agrees all the time. But when there's disagreements, what are the kids learning from mum and dad's example? Or from grandmum and granddad's example? What are they learning? What are they being coached in? And how to handle conflict in the home situation? Are they learning how to negotiate? Are they learning how to find a healthy agreement, a healthy way forward? If they do, that sets them up for life. If they don't, when they get married, they're in big trouble. At least their spouses. In a healthy families and awesome families, we teach them how to handle loss. And isn't it true that in life we constantly lose things? It might be job, it might be a health issue, it might be a bereavement, it might be we miss out on the team we wanted to be in, it might be we're the best at something but someone else gets the award, but losses are just a common experience of life. And the best place to experience those things is in the family, when someone who loves you a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a parent, is going to coach you through. How do you handle that? How do you keep that in perspective? If you do that, kids build resilience. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." For though the righteous fall seven times, what's the number of perfection? Seven. Number of completion? Seven. So though the righteous fall multiple times, we have a resilience that comes from God and we stand up. We don't get knocked down and stay down. We stand up and we love and we serve again. The rain falls on both the good and the bad of people of this world. Godly people have losses, have disappointments, have things in life that just cause them to grieve. But because God's there, because they've been coached well within their families, they can stand and run again. The next thing that awesome families teach us is what matters most in life. Interesting, if the children are exposed too much to TV and the media, to Facebook and different things, they're going to learn that life is all about sex and reputation and influence, isn't it? How popular you are, or how good looking you are, or how financial you are, that will have a huge impact on your kids, no matter how exposed they are. That's the world they live in. But as parents, as grandparents, we've got the opportunity to retrain their minds and say, actually, these things aren't the most valuable things in life. You get your identity from Jesus. God's got a call on your life. You matter. You're not a number. You don't have to please anyone. Just live to please God. Be free from the expectations of people. And we can coach them through that to retrain their minds, to tell them the truth. Up with my kids, if they watch TV and an ad comes up, you know, if you buy this product, you know, all the girls are going to, if you smell with impulse spray or whatever it is, all the girls are going to fall in love with you. When I see that kind of an ad on TV, I used to turn to my teenage kids and go, is that true? Primary school kids, is that true? And they just laugh at it, you know. If you have this product, if you do this thing, these things are promised your way. If you buy a Holden, you're going to be happy. Is that true? Seriously, you know. And so anything that's said like that, we would just challenge it in the lounge. And we'd be training their culture, training their minds. The world has got huge influence on what they believe. The world is going to say it's all about your popularity, it's all about your wealth, it's all about your sexuality. And we're going to come in as parents who love them, who are going to push back against those things, who are going to limit how much exposure they have to rugged songs or bad TV programs. And because we love them, we're going to retrain their mind to see things in a healthy way. Fifthly, awesome families teach each other good habits. How many people grew up learning manners maketh a man? Did you hear that too when you grew up, any of you? Man, I heard it lots. I really did. And it was a good thing. You know, our parents are saying when they say that to you, hey, what really matters in life is your character. And manners are much more important than getting what you want first or not having to wait. Manners are important. Character's important. They teach you good habits. In awesome families, we learn how to treat others with respect. Two great ways of teaching other people how to grow socially is to be an example. Just as Jesus was an example of leadership by washing his disciples' feet in John 13, we learn best from example. Children don't want to hear a sermon, they want to see it in your life lived out. The second way we help each other grow is to have great conversations. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, memorize the laws and tell them to your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Every day, whether your kids are grandkids are staying with you for the weekend, or you've got visitation rights every second week, or you're raising your kids, there are teachable moments. And as adults, if we can just look for those little moments and say, this is how God would have you see it. This is what you can learn from this. It's absolute goal to the children going forward. The next symbol I'd like to use as an illustration is a raincoat. So I'll put my hoodie up here. Put that around here. Why? Because awesome families protect each other. Awesome families protect each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 8 says, some people don't have friends or family, but they are never satisfied with what they own, and they never stop working to get more. They should ask themselves, why am I always working to have more? Who will get what I leave behind? What a senseless and miserable life. You are better off to have a friend than to be all alone. because then you will get enjoyment out of what you earn. If you fall, your friend can help you up. But if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. Every family, every person is going to go through seasons of stress, seasons of challenge, seasons of pressure. And when that happens, awesome families will come alongside and protect the person who's struggling. When you ask children, do they love their families? Why do they love their families? Most kids are going to say, because they care for me. Why do you love your family? Oh, because mum and dad care for me. Why do you love your family? Because my grandparents love me. You know, because they're cared for, they're protected, they love back. I suspect there are three significant phases or areas in life where awesome families can protect their family members. The first one is when they're experiencing change. Change always happens in life. It's a constant. There's always going to be change till we get to heaven. And heaven's going to be seriously good fun. And so if they're changing school, if they're changing jobs, if they've been dropped by their girlfriend or boyfriend, if something's happened within their life experience, that's just a fantastic opportunity to come alongside and talk about Jesus and talk about the gospel and keep those things in perspective. It's often during the season of change that people make bad choices that they suffer from for a long time. Awesome families gather around those folk that are going through change and coach them through the experience. Awesome families protect family members from harmful ideas. Often that's coming through social media. Often it's coming from peers and the people they're talking to at school. An awesome family will say, that's not the way we think, that's not the value we commit to. And they'll challenge that, they'll protect them. Often your teenagers or your intermediates, when you say, look, I don't want you watching that program, I don't want you listening to that music, will get upset. And they'll show an offense that you're setting a boundary. But deep down, they'll appreciate it. And long term, they'll benefit from it. I think the biggest area where we can protect our children, our family members, is from the area of rejection. When someone goes through rejection, it hurts. And everybody goes through rejection. And when your child's not picked for the team, when someone's been dropped by a girlfriend or boyfriend, when something's happened within their social circles and they're feeling rejection, that's when godly people can step in and put things in perspective. That's when grandparents, I believe, and aunties and uncles are so profoundly helpful. Talk them through the rejection. Surround them, cover them like with a raincoat. People, awesome families, support and protect those going through difficult times. It's best too that it comes without words. I think for us blokes, it's the hardest thing, not just to fix, but when someone needs protecting, just to be in their presence and just to give a few words and comfort. The fourth trait that awesome families have is that awesome families serve God and others. So Ian, I didn't bring a towel on this morning, but Ian grabbed a towel for me. That's a symbol of servants. Why is it a symbol of service? Because awesome families like Jesus know that the most important thing in life is not what I want and what I need. And it's not all about me. Awesome families teach their children from a very young age. The way to love God is to love other people. The way to be fulfilled in life is not to do what you want for yourself, but to serve other people. And awesome families learn to serve together. So the symbol is a towel. It's interesting, when I was growing up with my parents, we always had lots and lots of people around to the house. Mum would have every man, woman, child and their dog come to stay for meals. It was incredible. And they just loved on them. If we had guests stay at our house, the very best of everything was given to our guests. Mum and Dad would often prepare food for poor people or get food parcels together or clothing for poor people. And they involved us in that. They showed us how to love other people, how to put other people first. I always think of my mum, when she hugged people, she used to give Bruce Chandler type hugs. And so whenever someone was going through a difficult time, whenever there's a bit of hurt, stranger in the community, my mum would just hang on to them and love them. And she'd just hang on to that person so they knew that they'd received something of God's love. Awesome families teach their children to serve. Awesome families know that life is about serving God and serving others. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Cornelius was a religious man. He worshipped God and so did everyone else who lived in his house. He had given a lot of money to the poor and was always praying to God. Awesome families. What do? They model dedication to God and to other people. They model that selflessness. Awesome families don't just happen. They happen by choice. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Keep alert. Be firm in your faith. Stay brave and strong. Show love in everything that you do. Verse 15. You know that Stephanas and his family were the first in Achaia to have faith in the Lord. They've done all that they can for God's people. My friends, I ask you to obey your leaders like them and to do the same for all others who work hard with you. I wonder, family, what your family is going to be remembered for in generations to come. When you're gone and you're in heaven, 20, 30, 40 years' time, when people talk about your family, what are they going to say? What's been the influence, what's been the impact of your family on the city or the places that you've lived? See, I believe it can be great. And I believe you can choose, if you're not already in an awesome family, making it more awesome. If you're the sort of family that's not spending time together and having fun, and you're not creating that atmosphere of joy and love and protection and support and growth, if that's not happening yet, it can start happening today. And if you're in a family where you're concerned for another family member or another part of your family, they're not under your roof, I really believe in the power of prayer. I really believe in the power of the spoken word, whether it's in person or over Skype or something else. You can create awesome families today if you're not already experiencing them. No one's in an awesome family by accident. You become an awesome family by making choices, making decisions, making commitments, and making sacrifices. Father's Day, we're going to look at the words of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, where he says, as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. I think the greatest sign of an awesome family is they put God first and they know how to love on other people. I challenge you today, friends, no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what your family mix looks like right now, commit your family to God today. Make a decision to be an awesome family. Would you stand, please? Friends, I know when we talk about family, some folk have had rugged experiences, some people awesome experiences. But in every family, there are seasons when there's hurt and there's good. It's not those things that will determine who we are. It's how we respond. It's the faith that we carry. It's the love that we carry. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we're living in a throwaway society, in a consumeristic society, where people sort of just hang around and put an effort in if that's making them happy, if they're getting something out of it. Lord God, let the church, let this church be like salt and light in this society. As we, God, seek to love you and love others, as we seek to set up a model of family that's radically different to what's in the community, as our kids get lots of quality time with us and have fun and experience growth and protection from us. Father, through this church, there's such a heart to raise up world-changing Christians. Whatever stage of life we're in, do a work in us. Give us a determination, a commitment to raise awesome families. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Keep alert. Stay firm in your faith. Stay brave and strong. And family, show love in everything you do. God bless.